Sorry, we're just doing some shop talk. Shop talk here this morning.
Shop talk brought to you by Relief Factor.
Relief Factor. Relief Factor gives me relief to the factor of 10. Relief Factor is something that is 100% natural. It's drug-free. It's created by doctors. And it has four key ingredients in it. I don't know what they are. I don't really care. They just reduce inflammation. And that helps your pain. A lot. 70% of the people who order a 3-week quick start just to try it out order more. Now, that says a lot. That's, you know, that's about 70% of the people are saying, this works for me. I'm one of them. Go to Relief Factor. You want a drug-free, natural way to ease your pain? Get your life back. Try it out for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, you're going to be out $20. If it does work, you get your life back. It is so worth trying. Please try it. I'm a year now on it, and my life has dramatically changed. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Go there now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly, a couple of weeks ago, was on the program, and he was talking about something, this signed deal between Russia, and I was willing to say, you're right, Bill. We don't know. We only have it from CNN, and we have it from, you know, the New York Times. We have not seen it. I'm not dealing with any of this until we actually see evidence that it exists. Real. I want to see it with his signature on it. But does it matter if it does exist? Here's this exchange. Listen.
If
there is a letter.
And he did sign it.
Does it matter?
Yeah, that would matter. Because if there's a letter of intent to build a condominium in Moscow, that's a business dealing. So that would matter.
Okay, so even if he... Because see, this is interesting because I buy into the letter. And I don't think that anybody's. I don't think it's going to
come from.
Seen it in several places. October 28th, 2015 was the date. Right. Was the date of the third Republican presidential debate. And I think this is an interesting one, Bill, because it's one of those things everyone can throw out these accusations. All this right. one, it should be provable. If they have the letter, they should be able to show it, right?
Yeah.
If they have the letter, it should be in the Mueller report when it comes out.
Okay, stop.
It would have been leaked
It would have been leaked a long time ago. Again, what we hear is speculation everywhere. Well, now we have evidence, and we have Bill O'Reilly saying, yes, it does matter. I'm interested to hearing what he says tomorrow about this, but it does matter. And we're going to share what matters, what just came out yesterday, and why it matters in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, I remember when LifeLock first came out, and the head of LifeLock was like, I'm going to put my Social Security number on a bus. And I remember thinking that was stupid. And I also remember thinking, who cares, man, Social Security number? You remember those days when you didn't think about your Social Security number and it was no big deal?
Yeah.
And you just give it out?
Well, I don't know what days you're talking about exactly. But
when I was a kid, somebody would ask you for your Social Security. You'd go in any place, Social Security number, and you'd give it.
Any place?
Yeah, if they were asking, you'd give it. I never gave a second thought to
it.
Really? Never gave a second thought to it.
Now it's such an important part of your identity.
I know. So now is the time. I mean, I really think that LifeLock has been building. They were so far ahead of the game. Now is the time. You have to have LifeLock. And they've just partnered with Norton Security. So Norton protects your devices. LifeLock protects your identity. Nobody can monitor all transactions or, you know, stop all identity theft or cybercrime. But these two are the best in the business, and you need them, especially if you are doing any shopping online. Get it now. Even if you finished your shopping, get it now, because you might have let your identity out. And that could cause you all kinds of trouble in the near future. LifeLock.com. Go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck. Get 15% off your first year. Promo code Beck. 15% off right now at LifeLock.com. A proposed development of a first-class luxury mixed use to be known as Trump Moscow, or such other name as mutually agreed on by the parties, located in Moscow City, now known the Project. Dear Audrey, or Andre, this is a letter of intent, and it sets forth a summary of the basic terms of the license agreement to be entered into by the Trump Acquisition LLC, or one or more of its affiliates, and the IC Expert Investment Company, or its affiliates, blah, blah, blah. This shows exactly what they are going to be building, what they are going to license out, who gets the money. It is a 250 first-class luxury residential condominiums, one first-class luxury hotel consisting of approximately 15 floors containing no fewer than 150 hotel rooms, one first-class luxury spa fitness center, a commercial component consistent with the overall luxury level of the property, an office component, a parking component. They will also help design, construct, equip, furnish, yada, yada, yada. It's, I mean, the expense deposit, the deposits, the principal, the non-disturbance, the confidentiality, the currency, the governing law, the operation, the term, the management fees, the development standards, the maintenance and repair of the hotel, centralized service agreement, hotel technical service agreement, debt covenants, reimbursement of fees, I mean, all of it, food and beverage, signed by Donald J. Trump. Now, this was executed October 28th, 2015, and it ran all the way through the election. In fact, Mr. Trump, we now know, was brought up to speed on at least three occasions by Cohen about the progress of this project in Moscow. We also know that the guy who he denied even knowing is a signator of this contract. He was the Moscow guy. And Trump said, when asked by the press, do you know this guy? He said, I don't know him. I'd have to think about that. I don't even think I've ever heard that name. He was a guy who was working on this project, and he had direct contact with Vladimir Putin's office about this project during the election. So does this matter? See, what happened during Monica Lewinsky is we would ask people, does it matter? Or did he do it? And then they'd say no. And we'd argue about that. I've stopped arguing about did he do it. I don't care. Show me the evidence. When you show me the evidence, then I'll know if he did it or not. But until you show me evidence, I don't really care. I don't care because I don't believe anybody on any side. Show me the proof. So I've been waiting for the proof. However, if it exists, does it matter? This is what happened during the Clinton problem. Everybody argued that it never happened. And then when it did have, we did have the blue dress, then it was, well, it doesn't matter. Well, wait a minute. Then why have we been arguing? Why didn't you say it didn't matter right up front? So the president, we now know, lied repeatedly to the American people about having a business deal and a significant business deal in Moscow that Putin's office was, I can't say directly involved with, but had involvement in. He was courting Moscow and he was trying to get this done.
Now, your reading of this, he didn't do anything. This is nothing illegal about this.
Nothing illegal about this.
Nope. This is not the type of thing you get thrown out of office for, I don't think, unless he lied to, you know, the FBI or something about it. I mean, unless he committed a crime in the cover up or something. He definitely did say to the media a bunch of times that he had no business dealings in Russia.
I think he said that to the American people.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, the media is probably more directly who he said it to at that time. That's how we heard about it.
But he was asked.
This is not a question of criminality or impeachment per se. Like this is they're gonna work that in. I mean, the media is gonna talk about that all day. But
yeah, I don't really care. I'm not looking at anything other than you have the president of the United States, while he was running, asked by the media, but also asked in debates, do you have any dealings? And he repeatedly said, I don't, nor does anyone I know have any dealings. I've only been to Moscow once. Now, in the released documents, he was wanting to go to Moscow, and it was Manafort that said, no, you're not going to Moscow. It was during, because this deal, they wanted to see him. They wanted to deal with him face to face. And so he said, all right, well, I don't know. Should we put it together? Cohen was pushing for him to go, and it was Manafort that finally stepped in and said, you can't go. You can't go and negotiate this deal right now. Okay, so
it seriously shows you who Michael Cohen is. It's like even Paul Manafort had more discretion.
Yeah, I mean, it's
when you're losing to Paul Manafort on a good decision making contest, that's not where you want to be.
So, look, I understand the president not wanting to, for instance, I don't agree with it. But there wasn't anything illegal about it. And presidents have done this before. They've had sex. They've covered it up, yada, yada. This is different. This is different. The secretary, one of the secretaries in the office of Vladimir Putin was involved in this deal. There are now memos back and forth. When Trump denied that this was happening, the press called Putin's office, and that secretary, that person who was involved, secretary of something or other, he denied that there was anything going on. Okay? We now know that we have the emails, and he has now come out and said, okay, yes, there was this exchange. As soon as the White House said, yes, there was this exchange. The Kremlin said, yes, there was this exchange. I'm sorry, but this is not secret deals for the United States of America. This is a secret deal benefiting one person. And that person happens to be the president. I don't want any secret deals going on between my president and Vladimir Putin's office. I don't want any of them. I want to know if you're going to do it. Fine, let's have that conversation. And I know that would be tough in the press, but at least we would know transparency. Donald Trump did not turn over any of his business records. Well, we can see now why this would have been found. Okay, can you turn them over now? Because are you hiding anything else? We have to know that the president doesn't have any other idea that he is a slave to other than the Constitution of the United States of America. And I don't think that Donald Trump hates America. I don't think that he wants to destroy it. I don't think he's in league with Vladimir Putin. He is driven by his business. And I don't want a secondary business thing on the table with the president of the United States, or at least I want full disclosure.
And if we back up a little bit, it's not as shocking as, you know, the media is going to make it out to be today. If you go back to 2015, when this letter was going on, Donald Trump is a business guy wanting to do a really great deal in Russia. It is completely legal for him to do a big deal in Russia. Completely normal in his normal business day, right? Like this would be a very typical dealing for him to be engaged in. At the time, he is an incredible underdog, and most people in his organization, you know, I don't know about him exactly. I mean, you know, he's very confident publicly. The reporting says he even kind of thought he wasn't going to win. But at this point, surely no one in his organization thought he was going to win. Remember, this is 2015. This isn't even the year of the election hadn't even begun yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't even gone to Iowa. We haven't gone to New Hampshire. I mean, he's still, you know, he's doing well in the polls, but no one gives him a chance of winning at this point.
No, but
so the fact that you pursue a deal like this would make sense. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, when asked about it, when you're getting asked about it in the media, his calculus likely is the media is just trying to trap me on this. yes, I have this deal, but it's probably not going to happen anyway. And if they keep, if I say yes to it, they're just going to go in and they're going to investigate it. And they're going to chase me around and accuse me of all these things. I'm just, you know, screw them. I'm not going to give them the nugget. Now, I don't think that's the right way to handle it, but you can understand in that moment how he thinks just brushing off those questions might be the appropriate thing to do.
So we are down to where we were with Barack Obama, where half of the country didn't believe Barack Obama was a guy who had America's best interest at heart. You know, he had he was slave to another idea as well as being president of the United States. We didn't trust his motives. Now half the country doesn't trust this president's motives. We said we wanted full transparency. We wanted to know, how did these guys get into office? Who are they? What do they actually believe? And we can deal with that. Now we're saying, well, no, we don't need to do that because we trust Donald Trump. I don't know why we should trust Donald Trump. And it's not that you're going to get Hillary Clinton now. You're going to get Mike Pence should he be removed. And I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying we're crossing another line now. We're crossing a big line. There is evidence that he now lied to you repeatedly about something pretty important. Does it matter to you now? That's the question. You're never more than 60 seconds away from content. First half hour of every hour of the Glenn Beck program. I want to tell you about Casper Mattress and then right back into the show. Casper Mattress is comfortable for me, may not be comfortable for you. There are beds out there that I absolutely hate that people say are the best. The best way to try it is not on somebody's opinion, but with your own body and not in a store. But trying it out in your own home for 100 nights, that's the only way you're really going to know. If you've bought a mattress before, I know you've had buyer's remorse. I know it because I have. I've had buyer's remorse. I get it home. I'm into it for, you know, a few weeks and then a month and then 6 months. And I'm like, how much did I pay for this damn thing? And I hate it. Don't do that with Casper. They'll let you try it out in your own home for 100 nights. If you don't love it, they come, pick it up, and refund every single penny. It's Casper Mattress. Try it out risk-free. Go to Casper.com, use the promo code Beck, get $50 off the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com, promo code Beck. $50 off the purchase of select mattresses now at Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. 10 seconds, station ID. This is the Glenn Beck program. I'm Glenn Beck, and Stu is here, my executive producer and head writer and researcher and partner of 20 years.
20 years this year.
20 years this year. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Rudy Giuliani. If this didn't matter, why did on Sunday, when Rudy Giuliani was asked, he said, okay, yes, there was a real estate project. There was a letter of intent to go forward, but nobody signed it. Well, obviously he didn't know, but why wouldn't you say that earlier? Now you know that this letter is coming out, and his deal is, yeah, but Trump never signed it. His signature is prominently affixed to this. So it was signed. It's a real, actual business deal. Why this game back and forth?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, it does seem like, I don't know what Rudy Giuliani's purpose is at this point. I mean, he does not seem to actually be Donald Trump's lawyer.
He's not effective.
Right? He doesn't seem to be his
Donald
lawyer.
Donald Trump is saying he's not his lawyer now.
He is. There we go.
Yeah, no, now the White House is saying, well, he's not really our attorney, so he didn't know.
Okay, so he's a spokesperson who doesn't know many of the facts and makes, you know, sort of blanket assertions that wind up hurting the president. I don't know what the point of that relationship is anymore. Maybe it's run its course. But you know, again, if you know this is coming out at some point, I don't know why they do the opposite of getting out ahead of these things. Like they just slow play everything. This seems to be the communications strategy of the White House and of the Trump organization generally, which
works.
Just like wait, say, you know, you just keep
you know, it's deny, 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 deny. And then when it comes out, you say it doesn't really matter. Now, there is since then, and I think Bill Clinton kind of set this off in the world of PR, is you try to get out in front of these things, right? You kind of come out and say, you say the thing that you know is going to come out, just say it now, get it over with, deal with whatever's going on, make your best argument, and then it gets past you. Once Clinton started doing that, he started doing very well for himself. Once he started coming out and saying, look, this is, you know, this has happened, and his approval rating started going up afterwards, after he lied for a very long time. Again, the media is going to try to make this out into, well, let's start impeachment proceedings tomorrow. And there's no reason to believe that that's part of this, yeah. But still, truth is truth, and it is important.
I'm not even asking that. I just want to be consistent. If Hillary Clinton would have won the election, and we found out that she had a signed deal to explore a deal with Gazprom or whatever she was involved in, I mean, look, we are so upset because her husband went over and took $500,000 to give a speech in, where was it, Turkmenistan, which was helping the Soviets at the time. We're very upset. I was very upset with that. I think that hurts us. I think that shows that we cannot trust her on negotiations with Russia. We now know that the president had this deal. He lied about it, which you can say it was because of the press or whatever, and that's fine. But that put the president in an awkward position where the Kremlin knew the truth, and he knew the truth, and the Kremlin, you know, you don't think Putin will use things? When they went over and they spoke in private, and then they came out, and Donald Trump was shockingly saying all these wonderful things about Russia and Putin, did this deal have anything to do with that? Did the secrecy of this deal have anything to do with that? The president needs to come clean on things, period. He needs to release all of his business dealings. We have to know what the hell is going on. Now, somebody who's going to have a different take, I'm guessing, will be Eric Bolling. Eric is going to be joining us in about a half an hour. And Eric is a part of Blaze TV now, and he talks to the president all the time, friends with the president, and he's going to have a different take on this. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say, and you, your phone calls, coming up.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Okay, if you're looking for a great Christmas gift for somebody, they come in a box so you can wrap it. Otherwise, it's going to be impossible to wrap. It's an X-Chair. X-Chair is launching a new model for a limited time. It's only available to you in this audience at xchairbeck.com. They have the Super X-Chairs, which have everything. I swear to you, they fly. Tons of adjustments that allow you to tune every bit of this chair. The X Basic, you still get all the critical magic of the dynamic variable lumbar. You get the back height adjustment, optional headrest. You get the rocking tension control, all of it. Great Christmas present, affordable price, save $100, and get a free footrest at xchairbeck.com, promo code Beck, or call 844-4XCHAIR. That's xchairbeck.com, promo code Beck.
Get perspective from all over the conservative spectrum from blazetv.com, blazetv.com/Beck. Use Beck Christmas for $20 off today.
Your phone calls, also Eric Bolling coming up. I'm anxious to hear what Eric Bolling has to say about this Moscow deal. He's coming up in about half an hour from now. And I have good news. Eric Bolling has...
Yeah, you should definitely... Is Pat Gray's in office? Pat Gray is here. That's your good news. Hey, Pat.
Hang on. I have it on good authority. Do you have an update?
Yes.
You do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up in a minute. Pat Gray is here. Okay. Hello, Pat.
Was there something he wasn't supposed to say? Just not because I can't even imagine that.
I
can't imagine Glenn just going off.
I have no business dealings with Moscow.
I just want to make sure we're everything's all buttoned. Okay. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's really great to be here. really great.
What do you have going on today?
I am a little hacked off. Just a teeny bit.
But it's Christmas time.
I know. And they're crying desperately to ruin my Christmas season.
What are you talking about?
No border wall funding. Now, this is what they were going to fight for. And hey, give it to me. I'll take the blame on shutting down the government. I will take it. I don't care. It's that important. We're going to have a border wall. You will fund it. And then we'll worry about Mexico paying for it later. But we're going to get funding for a border wall. No funding for a border wall. That's completely off the table now.
What exactly happened there?
That's what I'd like to know, because I thought the president was willing to take it upon himself. No. I thought Congress was going to fight for it because they told us that the whole time during the election. No. So they get zero for the border wall. But the good news is we're sending $10.6 billion to Mexico and Central America.
Well, that's what I would have done.
I would have said,
let's give them more aid. They've been helping this caravan. Right. Let's give them more aid.
Let's give them more and encourage more of it. That would be great. Now, if this goes to what it's supposed to go to, and that's helping them develop their own countries so that less people will leave and come here illegally, I mean, I could almost say, okay, maybe that's a good move, but
that's not going to.
It's not going to happen. That never happens. There's too much corruption in their government.
So hang on just a second. Mm-hmm. If Donald Trump would have stood fast and said, I'm shutting the government down. I told mm-hmm. you I would. Blame it on me. The people yep. want action.
Yep.
McConnell even went and said, give us $1 billion and we'll give you $1.6 billion for something you want.
And they said no to that.
They said no. Oh, okay. So they tried to compromise. They said no. Mm-hmm. Where is Donald Trump taking the blame and standing up and saying, then shut the government down?
That's what I'd like to know. And where are the giblets in any of these Republican representatives to stand up to the Democrats and say, no, we're tired of this. No. We are shut the government down.
If anyone could have handled a government shutdown, it would have been Donald Trump.
That's what I thought.
It does not seem like that's in the cards, however.
No, he said no.
No, they've already taken it off the
yeah,
table.
They've taken
it's
it
not
off.
Happening.
Well, but they take it off the table and put it on the table every 9 minutes. I mean, but it does not seem like it's trending that way. I mean, a lot of people would just believe that, you know, again, these are negotiation tactics and, you know, you can't take these words.
How do you negotiate when you say, okay, I'll take that off the table?
Well, because the first part was saying, a negotiation. The second part was him giving up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Right. Like negotiation was, I'll shut the government down. I'll take responsibility. And when that didn't work, he's now saying, all right.
Fine. So is that the art of the deal? You throw it out there and then you just take it off the table in case.
That's not him.
No.
That's not him.
That's been on him on several things though. I mean, we've seen this over and over and over again. You know,
this is the one thing. This is the one thing that everyone said. If he would have shut down the government for 3 weeks and mm-hmm. lost, I think his people could say, you know, he tried and right. he was getting bloodied.
Right.
This, he can't say in 1 week, fine, the people want this. I will take the blame and then not do it and say, well, the Democrats wouldn't let us do it. Mm-hmm. You did not fight for it at the beginning when you had the Congress and you were able to do it because you had both houses of Congress. You were able to do it. I'm not saying that the Republicans would have, but that was your main campaign promise. And you didn't do it. You waited. Now you have a chance. The Republicans don't want it. I'm sorry to say, but the Republicans are lying to you, all those members of Congress that say they want it.
It also just doesn't poll well. So they don't see it even as an advantage.
Correct.
Overall, it's just
so, you know. How are you going to answer this? I'm just talking about his campaign in 2020. How are you going to answer that? You ran on a border wall. You even mm-hmm. said, I will shut down the government, but you weren't willing to shut down the government. Dude, you're willing to do anything. You're willing to go talk to Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. I mean, what aren't you willing to do? You, out of everybody, could have won that battle.
It's frustrating.
Well, and look, he can't, because of our system of government, he can't do it by himself. You know, and you're right. The Republican Congress is not interested, and the Democratic Congress is certainly not interested. You know,
he could not sign the bill.
He could not sign the
budget bill.
The budget bill.
He could come. That's clear. He could do that all by himself. Sorry, you're going to need 2/3 to pass this. I said no.
They might override the veto.
Right, but then he's completely clean.
He's done everything.
He's done everything within his office.
He tried to fulfill a promise.
Correct.
That he made.
Correct.
Instead, they're giving $5.8 billion to Central America and $4.8 billion to Mexico for southern Mexico. And I love what the Mexican Foreign Relations Secretary said. In sum, I think this is good news. Very good news for Mexico.
You think?
I mean, think about it. We've gone from
$5 billion in free money is a pretty good deal.
We've gone from we're going to build a wall and you're going to pay for it to, hey,
no wall. Here's five billion more.
Wow.
It's agonizing.
Hang on. There is a chance that in this bill, he has tucked this money away in the defense budget. Now, I don't like that at all. I don't like slippery stuff. I want people to vote on what they're getting. But he was saying that if we have to do it through the Pentagon, we'll do it through the Pentagon.
He did say that, yeah.
He said that.
But he also said he'd shut down the government. So is he going to do it?
I don't know. But he's got to do it soon.
Yeah.
Because the election is coming.
They just did, Gallup just did a survey of what the biggest problems for Americans are right now. What is the biggest problem we face? You know what the number one answer was?
Global warming.
Government.
Well,
is our biggest problem. And they prove it every day. That it is.
Sure, you just misread it because they both start with G, global warming.
No, it just said government. Yeah. Hmm. Number two, immigration. Global warming was not mentioned.
It never is. No. It's a sad girlfriend who's just sitting in the corner in the dance.
And
the
I would say that is true in Russia, in China, in Europe, in South America, mm-hmm. Central America, North America.
Certainly true in France.
That is true.
When push comes to shove, they don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, that it is. Our number one problem is the government. The government is in our way.
Yeah.
And the number two problem is immigration. You could say that in North America and Europe. That's the biggest, the second biggest problem. It would be the first, but it's the government that is causing all of the problems with immigration.
Exactly.
I've been reading How to Win Friends and Influence People, and the number one thing it says is stop talking about yourself. Start talking about the people, what people want. If you're negotiating with people, find out what they want and help them get that done.
This has been interesting to see you rediscover this book, because when you say I'm reading How to Win Friends and Influence People, it's such a cliche at this point.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it would have any credibility, but looking at it with new eyes.
Yeah, my father made me read it when I was a kid. And he's like, it'll change your life. And so I read it like, God, you gotta be happy and listen to people and all that. So I didn't get anything out of it. But I went back to read it again. And it has all of the answers. And if you look at that, what is government doing? Government is talking about them, what's good for them, what's good for the banks, what's good for their central banks, what's good for the military or whatever it is, what's good for their programs. They're not talking about what's good for you. Nobody cares. If my life is coming apart at the seams, I don't care. I don't care about anything. I don't care anything about even the president, unless he is caring about me. Unless this is why he won.
Yeah.
Because he started speaking the language of the people and said, look, government is a problem. And I know that it's corrupt. And the second thing is immigration. He was reflecting that. Now you can't just talk or it will make things much worse. Because now you've been betrayed, and I'm not saying he's betrayed anybody, but if these things don't happen, then people feel betrayed, like, you will wait, like we do with the Republican Party. Is there anybody who thinks the Republican Party, even the chair people of the Republican Party, are doing a good thing? No. Otherwise, they would be saying something better than, well, it could be worse. Could be those guys. That's all they have. That's all they have. It could be worse. It could be those guys. Well, I don't want those guys either. So I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for somebody who says, look, I know what you're concerned about, and I can help.
And I think, too, like, you know, we've talked about a lot of the good things. I know Pat on Pat Gray Unleashed has covered all the really good things that have happened in this administration that he's done, that Trump has been responsible for. I mean, we have
talked about it a lot.
A lot. We have a whole documentary in production right now about the basically miracle of the capital of Israel moving to Jerusalem with the embassy. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's been a lot of really good things. The idea that the first defense seems to be just say whatever benefits you at that time, you know, which is, you know, he's just lying about this. He should have just told the truth at the time and it would have been over. We wouldn't even remember this issue.
Nope.
Instead, they push it down the road and push down the road and push down the road. Then the evidence comes out and it doesn't help. I think it would make all of this so much easier if they were just honest about it.
Because you have seen the power of the press. The power of the press with Donald Trump. There is no power of the press with Donald Trump. It doesn't matter. He wins. He wins. So you might as well just be honest and say, yep, that's exactly what happened. And nobody cares. And nobody will. But you can't claim to say that I didn't know. I mean, the times that he's looked us in the face and said, I had nothing to do with that. I had no idea. And then you find the paper trail that, yes, he did. He was directing it. That's a problem. You got to stop doing that. Because we have to have someone we can trust. Because we don't trust the press. We don't trust the Republicans. Mr. President, please stop this. We have to have someone we can trust. Anybody see the fall of oil yesterday? This is really disturbing. It's good for us at the gas pumps, but it's really disturbing. I told you before in 2006 and 7, I said, look for a sustained, I think it was 140 or 150 per barrel of oil. If it cost 140, 150 and it's sustained, you'll see an economic collapse. I think it was 130 a barrel and it wasn't sustained for very long. And we had a collapse. This time, look for the low price of oil because it means a couple of things this time. Russia and Saudi Arabia cannot pay their bills. When Saudi Arabia cannot pay their bills, they're going to try to collapse the petrodollar. Russia is trying to do that as well. That means we lose reserve status. They can't sell oil on the US dollar for very much longer. And when oil starts to crater like it did yesterday, a sustained cratering makes the world a very dangerous place. The collapse of the petrodollar means there's no more control over gold. Gold will break through all the artificial barriers. May I highly suggest to you, I haven't felt this way since 2008. May I highly suggest take your money out of the stock market if you're my age or older. And look for safe havens. One of those safe havens may be gold. You're going to have to decide gold or silver. Maybe I have 10% in that. Call Goldline right now. 1-866-GOLDLINE. Don't buy paper gold. Paper is worth the paper it's printed on. Goldline at goldline.com or 866-GOLDLINE. 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
I was reading a story about how it's from 538 talking about, you know, like how media kind of shapes our view of things. And I get so frustrated as a conservative and, you know, you complain about media bias in the time that it's going on. And it's not until decades later do you get the actual admission of what actually happened in these old timey situations. Like, at the time, they never admit they're being biased. You know, the lie of the year is after Obamacare's passed, right? Mm-hmm. Listen to this paragraph. Take the 1992 election. At the time, everyone thought the economy was in shambles. The recession had technically ended in 1991, and there was some evidence the economy was expanding again. But the media painted a picture of economic woe. Political scientist Mark Heatherton.
I remember being on the air saying that.
Really?
The recession's over.
Right. And it was, technically, even.
I know.
They found a strong disconnect between the media's negative reporting on the economy and how the economy was actually behaving. In fact, with the benefit of hindsight, we now know that the economy was growing by more than 3% annually by late 1992, roughly the same pace it was growing in 1996 when voters rewarded Bill Clinton with a second presidential term. Hetherington's research suggests that the relentlessly bad coverage of the economy affected voters' perceptions at the ballot box. George H.W. Bush substantially underperformed in his second presidential bid and became the first Republican since Herbert Hoover to be denied a second term. Well, yeah, they made it sound like everyone was going to die tomorrow and it was George Bush's fault. 30 years later, almost, we all can look at this and say, well, what they were saying at the time was completely ridiculous. We weren't in a recession. We were growing at a healthy pace. And, you know, George H.W. Bush should have been reelected in that campaign.
You know what? It was Facebook. It was Russia getting involved with Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin at that time. Yeah. Well, it was.
You know,
it was,
it's amazing. You didn't need Facebook. You didn't need Vladimir Putin. You had the mainstream media doing it for you. I mean, people are like, oh, it's getting worse. No, it's not. It's just different. It's just different. That's the only thing. Eric Bolling joins us next to talk about Donald Trump, what he's experiencing, this revelation of a new deal, and much more.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a couple of remarkable stories today. One of them is about politics and Donald Trump and this new letter of intent to negotiate for a Hotel Trump Moscow. It has finally been released. It was released last night. Eric Bolling is going to have a different view on this, I'm guessing, than mine. And I am really anxious to see what is happening in the White House, what this means to the White House and Eric Bolling. And also, there's a couple of other stories that kind of revolve around Eric's life that I'm hoping we can get into on today's program. Eric Bolling in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. We have arranged the hour a little bit differently so we don't have to break for commercials quite as often. And this half hour, we're going to be here all the way till the end of the half hour together with a couple breaks here for just live commercials. And today, I talk to you about Chamonix. They've got a great product out for people around the holidays. You know, if you're looking to kind of clean up your look a little bit, if you've got a little double chin going on or a sagging jawline, you want to try GenuCell Jawline Treatment. This is all the sort of advanced stuff that they have. They've been breaking, you know, ground with new technology for a long time when it comes to these products, but they've got the dual peptide and MDL technology. It tightens your saggy jawline. It plumps the lipophilic layers of your skin, whatever the heck those things are. And it contours and defines the jawline within minutes. It works really fast, and the results get better every day you use it. So if you're looking for a gift or if you're looking to get something for yourself, this is how it works. You got the GenuCell Jawline Treatment. It's yours absolutely free when you order the GenuCell for under-eye bags and puffiness. Now, if you want to get the results in 12 hours as well, they've got GenuCell's Immediate Effects. It's also free when you call or click now. Go to 800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com. 800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com is the place to go. It's GenuCell.com. They'll have all the details on how this works and how you can get it. 800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com.
Eric Bolling, for a period of time, played professional sports until he was injured. Then he went in, became a stock trader in Wall Street, then went to television. And we know the rest from there. Eric Bolling on the Blaze TV. Welcome to the program. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing great, Glenn. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to spend some time with you on this very interesting day.
It's a very interesting day, isn't it? So here's the great thing.
A lot of demand for Bolling to explain some stuff coming out of the White House today.
Right. So here's the great thing about Blaze TV is we are a collection of people that we don't interfere with each other's show or opinion, and we like each other and get along, and we can disagree. And I think we're going to disagree on this, but it doesn't matter. I really want to hear your opinion on the memo that came out from the Trump administration.
Well, as Donald Trump himself said, and I agree with wholeheartedly, that he had a business. He had a real estate business that was doing making hotel deals around the world. When he ran for president, no one gave him a chance, including the New York Times. On the night of the election, had Hillary Clinton with a 98% chance of winning. As the returns started to come in, I'll never forget seeing that meter, the New York Times meter of likelihood of your next president going literally pinned it to Hillary slowly and slowly and slowly. We got around 10 o'clock at night. It just flipped way over to the Trump side. Why would he stop doing any sort of business if he wasn't sure he was going to be president? That's insane. We would have no one running for elected office if that were the case. We'd have no one with business experience and backgrounds running if they had to drop their prior businesses in the likelihood or unlikelihood of them being president, no less, and then all of a sudden try and pick up the pieces where they left off. That would be crazy.
Okay, so I agree with you 100%. However, he denied the business dealings with Moscow after the election.
Rudy Giuliani denied it. Rudy Giuliani denied it. I don't know that Donald Trump ever denied it. I think he said, of course, I'm an ongoing business concern, multi-billion-dollar international real estate business. Can't stop.
I love you, Eric. I love you. But I can't let you get away with that. He denied it relentlessly.
He said he had no business dealings with Russia multiple times.
And he said, I don't know anybody who does have any business dealings.
Well, I don't recall. I swear to you on my life. I don't recall him saying specifically.
Well, but is it okay? So
no business dealings with Russia, because we know there are other other properties that, in fact, he sold a property that he owned in Florida for one. I think it was the largest real estate deal in the history.
Right,
of Florida.
That one he admitted to. He said the only business dealing
or business deals. So.
Right. He said the only business deal I have with Russia is I sold a property a few years ago in Florida. So he admitted that one, and he was straight up about it. My question is why do this? The press has no credibility. People trust Donald Trump, who voted for him, and, you know, he did it, and you can say the same thing, you know, about, you know, with Bill Clinton, this was a personal thing, it was about sex, etc. But he stood on the plane, and he looked at the reporters, and he said, I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing. I didn't even know about it. Okay, well, we find out that he did know about it. Okay, we can dismiss it because that one's a personal thing with his wife. All right. Now this one comes out. Why wouldn't he just stop all this? Why wouldn't he just come out and just say, yeah, and here's the contract?
Well, because I'm not sure that they had consummated the deal at that point. I think there was an ongoing concern. I saw the signature on the note, on the memo as well. I honestly, Glenn, I'm being 100% honest with you. I don't remember him saying I have no business whatsoever with Russia, with the exception of that real estate dealing in Florida.
Okay, so I don't want to get in.
But if I take your word for it, I could only say that you know, he'd have to circle back and say, explain the signature, because you do know. However, I don't think it's a problem. There's no emoluments clause violations whatsoever. Let's go back to the reality. Okay, so if in fact he said I have no business dealings with Russia, and he had a letter of intent, not a deal. You know, you and I, Glenn, we go way back. We know letters of intent don't necessarily mean a deal is done. It means we intend to do a deal. It's not a legal binding matter by any means. Mm-hmm. That may be where he gets around it. He may say, look, it's a letter of intent. We sign letter of intents around the world all the time for everything. I've signed, how many letters of intent have you signed and or received that ended up not being a deal? Tons. So maybe that's the little quirk to it. But let's take it. Let's bring it through the machine and find out what it really is. It's really a businessman continuing to do business, you know, in the way he was until he was elected president, and then things changed. He gave the business and the dealings off to Eric and Don Jr., and to a certain extent Ivanka as well, but less so Ivanka, but Eric and Don Jr.
Okay.
Because it seems to me, really, the underlying issue is not an issue. He's running a business that talks about international real estate, and he's in the middle of an international real estate deal. I mean, there's nothing there.
Again, guys. Again, and it's kind of dawning on me, because I've got how many, 40 years in business under my belt. And it's just dawning on me as we speak right now that a letter of intent is not a binding contract.
No, I know.
No, it's true.
No, I know that.
He was dealing with them. He was attempting to get business. He kept saying, you know, I never had any business with Russia. You know, the closest I ever came to Russia, I bought a house a number of years ago in Palm Beach, Florida.
You know, the New York Times has him on 23 occasions, and I don't know that all of these, a lot of them are, I have nothing to do with Russia, which isn't necessarily talking about
thing.
Business dealings,
yeah.
But he did say, I had no business dealings with Russia. I had no business with Russia. You know, I think, you know, in his defense, right, he's in the middle of getting attacked constantly by the media. And probably he knows if he says he did have a deal brewing with Russia, everyone would accuse him of a million different things and he didn't want to deal with it. And I can understand why he tried to push it off. I just feel like it's the whole Nixon thing. It's really not the crime. It's the cover up. And I don't think the crime in this case is a crime at all. It's normal business dealings. I just wish he would be a little more upfront. That's all I would ask.
Well, and again, and I'm sorry I started the interview off not really understanding it. But as I talk to you and talk it out, a letter of intent literally is like a handshake. It's nothing more like, hey, you know, let's circle back, see if we can come to terms. So technically, he had no business deal done. Mm-hmm. Dealings is a letter of intent. Dealings. I mean, we're going to parse, you know, the meaning of is here again. But I don't know. Maybe we want to. Again, there was no deal done. There's no deal consummated. And you know, the difference is like when you do a deal, you sign a contract and you do a press release.
That's true. I mean, it's again, it is six. What is it?
A letter of intent. No, I'm laughing because there's literally thousands of letters of intent that, you know, drawn up and you know they're worth the paper that they're written on, and that's about it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, it's a detailed letter of intent, right? I mean, it's 16 pages of all the different, you know, going down to like how they're going to figure out concession splits. I mean, it's relatively detailed. But I think to your point, Eric, it's true that the media is going to kind of obsess over this, and they're going to say this is proof of, you know, collusion about the election. When, I mean, it really has nothing to do with that at all.
With the election.
They're just going to try to conflate these things.
This is the problem. This is the problem that they are conflating absolutely everything into this collusion with Russia and the election. And I just don't see it. I don't believe it. They would have to show me the evidence of it. And I have not seen any evidence that there was collusion for the election. It just it's so frustrating because the president,
you know, the media, you know, the liberal hack media that if they can make something up, they can take a seed and call it a tree. They will.
I know.
There are no seeds. And if there were, and if Mueller was sitting on something, it would leak by now. It would leak. We would know that there would be something that they've got him tattooed to the wall. And there's no secrets in D.C. So
Eric, I'm just to the point to where I don't really care to speculate. I don't want to speculate on what they have, what they don't have, because I'm tired of it. I watch CNN. It's not a news show. It's like a psychic hour that they're saying, well, I'm looking in the crystal ball and I think this is what they've gotten. I don't care. I don't care. I just want to talk about the things that we do know they have. So if they've got something else, they'll come out with it. Until that time, I don't even want to talk about it because it makes no difference to anybody's life. And it just confuses things and pits us against each other. On what? On speculation coming from people I don't trust? I'm not interested.
Well, but it rates, Glenn, and that's what the left does. And you're watching MSNBC's ratings in primetime creep up. In fact, even past Fox's ratings in primetime. It's what the left and the anti-Trump crowd wants to hear, that we're getting close to nailing the president. It's almost an anticipatory viewer waiting to see what they got,
right.
and they keep getting disappointed.
Yeah, I know.
They're on almost now.
They've been saying that every time something new breaks, they're like, we got him this time. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, it's not going anywhere. So anyway,
the most common phrase on CNN is the walls are closing in. They just keep saying it over and over again. As
I know.
He
must be living in a matchbox by now. All right. Eric Bolling from ericbolling.com and Blaze TV. He does a nightly show from Washington, gives you all of the inside information. We're thrilled to have him on the program today. I want to switch topics and go away from politics a little bit, if you'll allow me to, in 1 minute. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor for 60 seconds and right back into the program. It is Simply Safe. Simply Safe is this great system of security for your home, for your business, wherever you don't want people coming in and robbing you. It's that easy. It's that simple. You don't have to make an appointment, wait for somebody to come over and sell you a system. You don't have to wait over for, you know, an 11 to 5 p.m. window so they can come and install it. You buy it. You choose the system that you want. You can count the windows and the doors. You're not a dummy. It's delivered to you. You own it. It takes you about 30 minutes to install. It's really, really simple. It is state of the art. And if you want the monitoring, it's not a contract. It's just, I would like it between now and Christmas, please. And it's $14.99 a month. And so, you know, you're going on vacation or you're leaving the house or you just, you know, want that extra security. You can just call them and say, hey, for December, I'd just like to have you cover the house. It's, you know, $15. And they'll cover the house, and the next month they don't cover the house. Or you could have it, you know, 12 months a year. Do whatever you want. It's your system, your security, and you're in charge. Go to simplysafebeck.com. They have a holiday special going on right now. Protect your home the smart and simple way. Simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. So, Eric Bolling, I want to switch topics to you, and there's a couple of things. First of all, what do you have coming up, and what are you going to be looking at and doing on the Blaze TV in the next year?
So, I think we're going to continue to do what we do. By the way, Glenn, we just did a big press release this morning that I signed with Blaze TV for 3 years, and I'm looking forward to working with you and nice. Mark and some of the other conservative hosts that we were delivering probably the premier conservative content in media right now, opinion content. So I'm looking forward to that and inviting as many other smart conservative voices to join me at Blaze TV. It's going to be a great venture. Looking forward to it. So that announcement just went out.
That's great.
I'm thrilled.
We are going to do what we've been doing. Our show America is just, it's unbelievable. We're in congressmen's offices. We are in the Senate rotunda talking to senators. I spent the day yesterday at the White House with Kellyanne Conway. I spent last week with the president in the Oval Office. So I'm bringing high-level advisors and elected officials' opinion and ideas and you know, just policy to the forefront. And then we talk about it. And we're doing it 3 days a week right now. I think we're going to increase that to maybe 4 days a week. And we deliver it live at 5 p.m. every night. So it's going to be a great year, and we're going to continue to do what we did. And I'm looking forward to working with you, Glenn, and the Blaze. Maybe we can, you know, talk regularly. That'd be a lot of fun.
I'd love that.
As far as the show is concerned, but I'm also doing this opioid awareness push. Now I've teamed up with Sinclair Broadcast on the TV and broadcast side, and probably for the next 4 months, so I think through April of 19, we're traveling around the country, different cities. We'll be in Dallas, we'll be in San Antonio, we'll be in Columbus, Ohio, Northwest, all over the country, and we're talking opioids. We had the First Lady last time at Liberty University with Kellyanne Conway yesterday, so we're getting the opioid awareness message out to people. It's an important message. It's a deadly killer that we need to really, really attack as a country.
You're doing that because of the tragic loss of your son that we have talked about, and you spoke about it in a very raw and real way, and it was just, I think it touched a lot of people, Eric. this is coming up now on your second Christmas without your son. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
Not well. I'll be honest with you. One of the things you'll know about me, and maybe your audience doesn't, but we'll learn quickly, is that there's no on-air persona versus an off-air persona. It's what you see on TV is who I am. And so I'd be lying if I said I'm doing well or my wife and I are doing well. It's a rough time of year. We lost our son in September of 17. A couple weeks later was Thanksgiving. The empty chair was happening, and we were about to all fall apart as a family. And President Trump called and you know, it meant a lot for me that he called on that moment because he knew it was the first holiday. And he's subsequently called on many holidays since. It doesn't make it easier. It just makes it makes you feel like something, he cares. And so the point is that because he showed so much empathy and compassion about this topic and my loss and my wife's loss, I'm really pushing to get the message out so other families don't have to deal with this. You know, interestingly, last night we finished a show at Sinclair in D.C. here, WGLA, and we came off the hour on opioids, and you know, the producers came up and said, "Oh, that was amazing. That's great. You know, let's start working on San Antonio in January 10th. We're going to be there," and they're like, "This is going to be, you know, great." And I just looked at them, I go, "Do you know how hard this is for me to do an hour on the loss of my only child, my son?" Mm-hmm. And they realized at that moment that this is really, really hard for me to do. But I swear to you, Glenn, the only thing I have to hold on to that there's any sort of positive that can come out of it is that we save one family from this utter hell. And it really is a hell. So that's what gets me up in the morning. If it weren't for that, I'm not sure.
My mother committed suicide, and I remember when I did the tour for the Christmas sweater, which is a fictional telling of that, and I felt so compelled to do it. I remember I got off the stage every night, and I was just, I said, I can't do it another day. Just cannot do it another day. It's sometimes when you hit these personal moments where it is a cause, yours being opioids, mine being suicide, it takes every ounce of strength you have to get through it, and I commend you for doing it.
I'm telling you, that feeling you felt, I can't do another day, is what I felt last night and after the first one. And you know, it's a great message, and it's a great you know, broadcast partnership with Sinclair. They blanket the country on local stations, and they're happy to announce 12 more. I just looked at them like, okay, 12 more. You know, I mean, it's going to be rough, but listen, if you can get the suicide message out, help people who are contemplating, and maybe make the phone call to the suicide prevention hotline. Or if I can get the message out to families, parents, talk to your kids. No one's immune. Your kid's not too smart, too popular, too athletic, too white, too black, too gay, too straight, too rich, too poor. They'll all be touched. Or the kids, one pill can kill. And maybe we save a life or two, Glenn.
Eric Bolling, continue in just a minute.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So you're coming together next Christmas and next week, and we're all going to be sitting around a table, and we all got to do something. May I suggest you play a new game called Say Anything? It's a game that's been out for a while. I've played it, maybe new to your family. Say Anything is for the family that wants to talk and wants to laugh. And maybe now this isn't what it was designed for, but maybe it's been having a hard time doing that. This game will steer you through it. You're going to laugh hard. You'll see the way the other members of your family think. It's really a fascinating game, but fun. And it's now on sale, 20% off at Target, at the toy section in Target. It's called Say Anything. Get it for the holidays. It's Say Anything, now on sale at Target. Card game you don't want to miss, Say Anything.
You heard it here first. Eric Bolling, 3 more years on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/Beck. Use Beck Christmas for $20 off.
Eric Bolling, who has just announced a new 3-year deal with Blaze TV. We're thrilled to have you on. Eric, he does Eric Bolling's America on Blaze TV, 3, soon to be 4 days a week, and is with all of the players in Washington, knows them. Can you give me any perspective? I want to touch on this real quick, then I want to get to something else. But he dropped. Can we get him back?
Wow, the deal's over already. He signs 3 years and
then
he's
just gone.
Wow.
Okay, see if you can get him back. Yeah. I want to ask him about the border wall, and then did we schedule him for? There he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
Good. I want to talk to you about one quick thing, politics, and then I get something more important. The border wall. It looks like now we've caved on shutting the government down. Does the president have another plan, like he's talked about building it through the Pentagon, or what's the plan on the border wall?
Yeah, we can talk about it. I think he's going to build his wall one way or the other. I agree that he can't cave on. I wish he would have not have caved on making Mexico pay for it. I think that still has to be part of it some way.
But we just said we're going to give him $5 billion. I mean, we could have given the border construction people $5 billion, but we gave it to Mexico.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm this is one I think he has to hold. I think this is one he has to figure out before, you know, before a re-election campaign. But it's something... if he caves on this, it's going to be one of the big ones for him.
Okay. Yeah. Eric, can I talk to you about something? And you can feel free to say no, and we can move on. But you said something to me when we did our podcast, and you were very open and honest. And I didn't follow up on it because I felt that I had put you through the ringer enough, personally. But I think in this holiday season, if you would address it, I think it would be... enlightening. You told me that not only did your son die the day he died, but your faith did as well.
Yeah, and we can talk about that.
You were a guy who went to church, if I'm not mistaken, every day.
6 days.
6 days.
Yeah, 6 days. Yeah, I went 5 days a week. When I got to work, I would go over to St. Patrick's, and on Sunday, I went every Sunday, and it was for 10 years. I went 6 days a week.
And now you say you don't have...
The last day I went to church was that day. It was a Friday.
And are you... What's your relationship with God? What's happening?
It's complicated. I'm trying to figure out... I'm still trying to figure it out. I believe, as probably many people do, that... You know, you're a good person. You go to church. You sacrifice. You do the right thing. You be charitable. Be honest. Take care of people. You know, I can't tell you how many times I pull over and hand someone an umbrella. I mean, I was just, you know, and in the hopes of, you know, having some. I guess maybe it's not the correct way of thinking, but. In hopes of having some sort of protection against something as catastrophic as what happened to me. I lost my son, and my career was kind of ended in my faith on the same day. So, yeah, still working it out.
So do you still believe in God, or is it a kind of I'm angry, or I don't know who you are, or I reject you? Where are
no,
you?
No, it's not an I reject you. It's anger. If I believe, it's anger, and if I don't believe anymore, it's what have I done? Have I wasted all this time? And I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't mind being honest with you in public. I don't know. I don't know where I am. Don't know.
Are you pursuing this, or are you just letting it settle till things calm down?
No, I mean, the really strange thing about this loss is, you know, you think about things like what happens if I lost this person or that person. And when a loss of this magnitude, and I don't think there is a greater loss in the world than losing a child, an only child, you get thrown into a depth that's literally inexplicable. So the worst thing you could ever possibly, the most worst feeling you could ever think you could feel, multiply it by, you know, a million. It's such a devastating hole that you go in. It's literally a daily struggle just to make it out of it, just to see that there is a life. And so to start tackling the big issues like where is my faith? I need to, my wife and I both need to heal. Like I do this, the opioid tour, and she can't go because she
it just breaks her apart, just, you know, seeing a picture. And so it breaks me apart, too. Like last night, the producer didn't tell me that there was a picture of Eric Chase and I in the middle of the show. And it just popped up, and it almost derailed me for the whole show. So it's still left. I did an event here in D.C. For opioids, and I was a keynote speaker. I got there, and they were rolling pictures, and I didn't know they were rolling pictures of Eric and I. And I couldn't even speak. I couldn't do the event. I was in tears. And so anyway,
Eric,
it's a daily struggle.
May we all pray for you and your wife.
Thank you, Glenn.
Try to enjoy the holiday,
there's no enjoyment. I mean, it's called make it through. That's what it literally is now. But so
may you make it through.
I appreciate the prayers.
God bless you, Eric.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you so much.
That's brave to. I mean, that's brave to talk about like that. I mean, that's really incredible. I can't even imagine what that guy's gone through.
I don't think any of us know how we would react.
No.
You know, it's easy to say, well, Eric, that's when you need your faith. That's when you...
Sure.
But no, none of us know how we're going to react.
And I think if we deny that people would struggle with a situation like that, it's even to the level of the core of their faith, then we're letting people down. Because when this does happen to people, and it does... You know, this is a very honest process. Like, this is how you're going to feel. I haven't had to deal with something like that. And in my head, I know that if something like that happened, you'd have no choice, I think, to question everything that you've assumed about life. Hopefully you come back to, you know, or you're able to get to the right place. And I really pray Eric does as well. And I think, you know, he's going to have his own journey on that. And that's tough. But I mean, to be able to come out and talk about that in front of people, and as difficult as you can tell it is for him, that is really important. You know, that's a really brave act for him to do, not only what he just did on the air, but also with opioids and everything he's doing around the country. Really important stuff. Really brave and incredibly difficult. He's doing that at extreme personal sacrifice.
He is so honest. If you missed the interview that I did with him for a podcast, I think you'll probably find it on YouTube now.
It's certainly available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And watch it. Because this is the first time he really opened up on a national platform about the death of his son. And it was incredibly brave and incredibly raw. And he is obviously a man who is going through a gigantic change in his life, and cannot see the blessings yet. But most of us can't when we're in that space. You know, it was brave of him to say, you know, I kind of looked at my faith differently. I kind of looked at my service differently, and nowhere really is that promised. That, I mean, look at Jesus. You know, it seems like all of the good guys always get killed one way or another. You know, you look at all of the martyrs that you know, just stood and were saying, no. I think you should read the Bible in your own language. I don't think you should have to have it in Latin and go to a priest because you can't read Latin. Burned at the stake. All these really great people that lost their lives, all of the apostles. I mean, look at the stoning of Stephen. Like, it's so funny. I just read a story last night of a guy who survived the Chicago fire. And it wiped his family out. And they were just getting back on their feet and decided to go to Europe for a vacation with the family. This is like 1903 or 5, something like that. And the dad has to stay, but he said, I'll meet you over there. So the mom and their four children, their four daughters, are on this boat, and it hits another ocean liner in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And it sinks. She lives. And the children die, and she just wires to him when she arrives in France. She wires back to her husband, I survived alone. I don't know what I'm going to do. He gets onto a boat. He goes over. He gets her. As they're crossing the ocean, the captain says, this is where it happened. The captain marked in his journal that he noticed they never looked down to the sea. They looked up. And they came back to Chicago. They had two other children. One died at 3. One died at 7. Their pastor said, you're being punished. You've done something wrong. So they just surrender completely. They move to Israel. And they start just helping people. First, they go into World War One, and they just start helping people. Anybody who's wounded, doesn't matter what side it's on. Then they move to Israel, and eventually they build the children's hospital that is still serving people today. And it doesn't matter if you're Arab or you're Jewish or you're Christian. The policy of the hospital is you have to have help. And they're there. I don't know how people survive, but it's a very delicate dance with God of being able to let it go without forgetting. It's so difficult, but letting it go and knowing that there is some reason, and it's a good reason, that these things happen to us. And my prayer for Eric and anyone else that is struggling is that you will hear the words, it's okay. All is well. Everything is good. Everything is as it should be. Our puny little human brains cannot wrap around the idea of tragedy being good, but in the end, if you can let it go and let it shape you in positive ways, look at what Eric is doing. He's going to save lives. That's a positive that has come out of this. Back in a minute. When I come back from vacation after the holidays, I'm going to spend some time with you talking about how the economy, what's next. I haven't been clear like this for I don't know how many years on being able to look at the news stories and go, wait, that's connected over here and this one's connected over here. The last few weeks especially have been game-changing for me, and I'm seeing the connections on things and what's coming. And we're going to go through some rough patches, and I urge you right now to consider diversifying anything that you might have. We are going to go through a very rough patch. Have you considered putting gold or silver in and away, and not buying it paper, but buying physical gold or silver? Just read about what's happening in Saudi Arabia just today, and the petrodollar, and what's happening to the price of oil. They are on the edge. And if the petrodollar goes away, so do all price controls and all the games that they're playing with gold, because that means the dollar loses its reserve status. And there are countries that are pushing for that, but Saudis are in real trouble. Please consider gold or silver now. Find out if it's right for you. It's not right for everybody. It is for me and my family. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Call them. They're waiting for your call now. Get their free information and do your own homework. Goldline.com or 1-866-GOLDLINE. We just never seem to have enough time on the Glenn Beck program to hit all of the things that that we want to hit. There's a lot of stuff going on with the economy that nobody's really covering, but keep your eye on this during the holiday season, because things are happening fast and furious. Also, the Russians look like they are repositioning two nuclear bombers in Venezuela. Apparently, Russian advisors are arriving in Venezuela sometime this week. The administration has already tweeted out, you know, unacceptable. But Venezuela and Russia appear to be working together, and that's never good. We also have a guest on next hour, Helen Andrews, who has a really different perspective on life and social media, because she has walked a horrific walk.
Yeah, her story is really fascinating. She was on C-SPAN, and she got in basically what was an argument with an ex-boyfriend on C-SPAN. It sort of, by my reading of it, sort of ambushed her on live television. It went viral and changed her life. This is about, I mean, what, 7 or 8 years ago? And how her journey of how she dealt with that and where that's turned out is really fascinating.
She's going to join us next. A compelling, compelling story from Helen Andrews. Coming up. Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
No one has yet figured out what rules should govern the new frontiers of public shaming that the internet has opened. New rules are obviously required. Shame is now both global and permanent to a degree unprecedented in human history. No more moving to the next town to escape your bad name. However, you can go as far as you want. Wait as long as you want. But your disgrace is only ever a Google search away. The right to be forgotten. Taking the human memory and making it perfect forever. What are the new rules? What is it like to be chased out of the public sphere and having to move to the other side of the planet only to realize it doesn't stop there? Helen Andrews. Shame Storm in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, we'll talk about our sponsor. We are only 1 minute away from getting back in the show. Stu wants to talk to you about our sponsor.
Yeah, I sure do, Glenn. Thank you for telling me that.
You're welcome.
It's not like I wasn't paying attention or anything.
No.
There's a lot of good stuff on the internet I was checking out. So Chamonix is our sponsor this half hour. Chamonix is a great company because they put together stuff to help us make look a little bit better. If you have that idea that maybe, you know, it's something's bothering you about yourself, you got a little sagging jawline, you got a double chin going on, Genucel jawline treatment is brand new from Chamonix, and they put all their advanced technology into this stuff, all the dual peptide MDL technology, all the stuff that that I don't understand because I'm not smart enough to understand, but it works amazingly fast, and if you use it every day, the results get even better. If you're looking for a gift or you want to get some for yourself, this is how this works. You call Genucel at 800-577-8709 or go to Genucel.com. They've got the Genucel jawline treatment. That's free when you order the Genucel for under-eye bags and puffiness. And you also get the immediate effects is free. That's going to work within 12 hours. So give them a call. It's a great gift or something for yourself with beautiful skin, no bags, and a tighter, higher jawline. 800-577-8709 or Genucel.com. Genucel.com.
It was October 2010 when our next guest appeared on a panel to promote a book of essays by young conservatives, proud to be right, voices of the next conservative generation. The moderator was Jonah Goldberg. One of the other panelists was my ex-boyfriend. During the question and answering, Todd, the boyfriend, launched into a rant about Helen's personal failings. He accused me of opposing Obamacare on the grounds that it would diminish human suffering, which allegedly I preferred to increase, of wanting to appeal laws against fistfights for the same reasons, of being sadistic and scheming, a heartbreaker in his own personal life, and generally living according to a disturbing and brutal set of values. For 3 minutes and 45 seconds, which unfortunately for me, were captured on film for broadcast 2 weeks later on C-SPAN, he made an impassioned case that I was a sociopath. It stuck. Helen Andrews is that woman that was on C-SPAN. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Glenn.
Wow, Helen, you've been through the ringer and back. Are you back yet?
Yeah. It's been 8 years since that happened. But, you know, just the week or the very day that I sat down to write this essay, my husband came home and said, honey, you won't believe what happened. I was at a conference and we were talking about bad breakups in the conservative movement. And one guy pulled out his phone and said, oh, my goodness, if you want to talk about bad conservative breakups, you have to see this C-SPAN thing. The poor guy had no idea that he was talking to my husband.
Oh, so, you know, gosh.
After 8 years, it would have faded away. But no, it still pops up. That's the thing. The internet is forever.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you a little bit about, there's something in Europe that they're trying to push through, and that is the right to be forgotten, which is very, very human. I mean, we do forget things, and things fade. But with the internet, it's permanently there. Always, and you'll never can escape it. So tell me what happened that day, and tell me your journey here in the last, 8 years.
Sure. Well, as soon as the video went up on the internet, those 3 minutes and 45 seconds were instantly clipped and posted on YouTube, and they got 500,000 hits in the first 48 hours.
Oh, my God.
All the cable news networks did a segment about it. It even made the local network news here in D.C. It was written up on Gawk, Washington Post, guy mental on ex-girlfriend at C-SPAN panel. So all of my coworkers saw the video. All of my friends saw the video. It just became a huge story.
How old were you when you sat down for that interview? And you were, because you were 22 when you dated this guy, right?
Yeah, and I think I was 24 when the video went big. So, I was 24 years old and basically thought, well, that's my life over now.
Right. And you admit that you were pretty brutal to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's where I eventually arrived. I thought about, Todd's talking for 4 minutes about what a bad person I am. Well, honestly, he could have gone on for 4 hours about what a bad person I was to him and not said anything untrue, So who am I to say that I didn't deserve being embarrassed,
So after you had, 500,000 hits in 48 hours, how did your life begin to change?
I think I didn't realize at first just how permanent a part of my life this thing was going to be. I thought it would just be a week of bad news coverage, and that would be embarrassing, but then I would move on. It started off with little things, like I would be walking down the street on one occasion with my parents, and people would stop and point and say, hey, C-SPAN girl. About a year after the incident, I decided I wanted to move on from my job at National Review. And funniest thing, no matter how many resumes I sent out, I couldn't get a job interview, which made sense. I put myself in the shoes of a prospective employer, and I figured, if I were trying to hire for a position and somebody's first Google result was some rant about how she's maybe a psycho, I might look at other candidates too. But, that's easy enough for them to say, but for me it was a pretty serious blow to not be able to find a job. And eventually, as you mentioned, I moved to Australia, moved to the other side of the world. And even there, because that's the thing about Google, it's completely global. It followed me to another hemisphere.
And so when you were looking for a job there, you couldn't find a job for like 18 months because people, the first thing they would do is Google your name.
That's right. And then once I did find a job at a think tank, it still followed me there. You know, I put out my first report on nonprofit regulation, right, like the way charities are regulated in Australia, a pretty, you know, benign topic. But the minute the report was released, an Australian MP tweeted a link to the video and said, "I don't trust this person's views on charity regulation." You know, not even some schmo on the internet, but an elected official has decided to use that as ammo against, you know, any public statement I might want to make in the future.
So
yeah, it's going to be an all-purpose rebuttal.
I have to ask the obvious question here from the right, and that is, do you think it would have been the same if you were a liberal and not a conservative?
No, I don't think so. People always say, don't read the comments, and that is definitely my advice to anybody else that this ever happens to. Don't ever read the comments, but I couldn't help myself. Yeah. And the thing that I noticed over and over again is that these people would say, well, you know, gossip is bad, and we shouldn't make fun of people for bad things in their personal lives. It's none of our business. But in this case, this chick is obviously some kind of Christian right-wing nut job, so therefore that makes her a hypocrite. And that's why it's okay for us to talk about it. That's something that a lot of people do psychologically when they join in on these internet pile-ons. You know, they come up with a reason for why, no, it's actually okay in this case. You know, it's justified. When really it's just they're joining in because it's fun.
Is there any difference, do you think, between, I mean, other than the final outcome, is there any difference between this and the mobs that used to dunk the witches or burn the witches that... A lot of people just joined, didn't have anything else to do.
Oh, yeah. And the way that you know it's completely irrational, you know, that it has no basis in actual justice or truth or logic, is that arguing back never, ever helps. You know, if anybody who finds themselves in the middle of one of these storms, your first instinct is always going to be, oh, well, I'll just explain my side of the story. And then everyone will understand. But because nobody in one of these pylons is interested in the truth, anything you say is just going to be twisted out of context or made to make it sound worse, or it's going to be like, you know, crying when a bully attacks you in the schoolyard. You know, nobody's listening, so rational argument isn't going to help anything.
Holy cow. How you survive this is beyond me, and that's, I guess, where I want to go next. How did you survive it? What did you take from it? How should you fight these things if it happens to you? Helen Andrews will continue in 1 minute. First, American financing. Credit card bills are set to increase by at least 5% this year. And due to the Federal Reserve's increases, APRs have jumped more than 3 percentage points over the past 2 years. This means that the average rate of credit card interest is now 16.6%. That is unreasonable. And if it continues to rise, and it will, what happens when you have 20, 25% interest? I mean, it starts to get into, you know, predatory lending and usury. Holiday shopping and entertainment can add up quickly. Please don't get into deeper debt this Christmas. American Financing does have some options for you, though, if you are on the edge and you have any equity in your home. I want you to call AmericanFinancing.net because they can do a consolidation loan. This will help save your credit in many cases. It will also give you a one loan to pay off all of those high interest cards, and then you're paying a lot lower rate. Could save you for $500 to $1,000 a month. That's crazy. $12,000? Could you pay things off? Visit AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net. Call them 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation. NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We break for 10 seconds. Station identification. This is the Glenn Beck Program, and we're talking to Helen Andrews, a conservative writer. She wrote a piece in First Things called Shame Storm.
Helen, you brought up something I think is really interesting about how people won't react to rational thought in these moments. And it strikes me that when these things start, when these sort of online shame trains begin, we in ourselves wind up excusing a lot of awful behavior to in an attempt to pile on. You use a great example, which was Kevin Williamson. We love Kevin. He's been on the show before. He went to the Atlantic, if people don't remember the story, and they unearthed some comment that he had made about abortion. And the comment, the controversy really wasn't about the comment. Afterwards, people started saying, I'm fearful to work with Kevin Williamson. 25%, he might want to kill 25% of the women who work here. And you point out correctly, no one actually believed Kevin Williamson was a threat to anyone around them. They had justified in this moral sort of crusade the idea that they could say anything about this person and lie about their own feelings because this was so justified. Did you feel like you were kind of at the other end of that going through this process?
Sure. I would read in comments or blog posts people saying things about me that were just not true, that were just factually, easily, checkably false. And I kind of wondered, how is it that these people who have never met me care so much about ruining my life? What did I ever do to make them so angry with me? And eventually I realized that they're not angry at me. They don't care all that much about me one way or the other. They've got their own reasons. They're angry at women, or they're angry at conservatives, or they're just angry in general and like lashing out. Or they just enjoy the rush of feeling outrage. You really, once you read enough of the comments or follow enough of these shame storms, you realize it's not about you. It's not about the person at the middle of it. It's just about, there's just a pattern to the dynamic of the way these things always go. It's like a wave or an avalanche.
So how do you deal with it? Because you've tried all of the, argue, let it go, don't read it, be nice. I mean, what works?
It's funny. It took me a long time to get to a place where I'm okay with it. But once I did, I realized I was actually grateful that this, I truly believe it was part of a bigger plan that this should happen to me. That, I was a pretty rotten person when I was 24. I was selfish and careless. And very proud. And I don't know if anything short of this kind of knock upside the head could have done it for me. I was raised in a very secular household. The only church we recognized was the church of NPR. But it was only in college and after going into conservative journalism that I met any Christians at all. And one of the things that one of them said to me after this whole C-SPAN thing happened was, Helen, there is no humility without humiliation. And gosh, was that true. I was just a very proud person. My instinct was always to think, I don't deserve this bad thing that's happening to me. But I that saying that just stuck in my head, there is no humility without humiliation, led me to some self-reflection and realizing that, the only solution here is to try and become a better person.
So let me ask you, because I think that's a great lesson to learn, and one I have learned through the years.
Sure have.
Shut up. it's important that we recognize, recognize our place in the universe and time and space. However, it also seems that no matter how much you change, it's not going to, they're just going to say you're only doing that because of X, Y, and Z. So you never escape that. Does that make sense to you? Have you experienced that?
Absolutely. Yeah. That there's no, there's no way to indicate that you've changed or reformed, as the only thing that, there's nothing you can do to change how other people
correct
think. They're not your problem. You only have control
correct
over you. But one thing that I've certainly taken away is that when I see other people who have been through these kinds of shame storms, or I hear rumors about somebody, oh, he did some kind of bad thing in the past, or she's guilty of this. If it's been a while, I always start from the default of assuming, unless they indicate or prove to me otherwise, that they have changed and that they have become a better person. Give right. people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it seems like we're living in a society that just doesn't ever forgive.
Yeah, well, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback ever since this essay was published. You know, some people whose names I recognize and have seen on TV reached out and said, something like this happened to me. Thank you for, you know, including a ray of hope at the end of your story. But the messages that got to me the most were from, you know, people in a small town who nobody had ever heard of, who aren't that famous, but whose lives have been wrecked or overturned by events like this. You know, they say, I was the worst person on the internet for 48 hours, and then everybody else moved on, but I'm still here living amidst the wreckage.
I could spend so much time talking to you, Helen. And one question before we go, we've got about 1 minute. You wound up eventually reconnecting with your ex-boyfriend where this whole incident started, and you've talked to him since. What's your relationship like now? How does he see this?
Yeah, it's quite positive. You know, it's because he suffered just as much as I did. Mm. You know, he eventually lost his job over this incident. Mm. And he's kind of, you know, people made fun of him on the internet. He finds it hard to get gigs now. And so we both kind of learned a lesson. I asked him if he would do it over again, if he had the choice. And he said, absolutely not. Not a chance.
Yeah.
And I forgive him and he forgives me. And that's really the moral of this story.
Helen, thank you for having the guts. First of all, for not giving up. And then finding the positive message in it, and changing your life. I think of redemption. That's not going to go viral, but it should, because it's important, and I think it's going to happen to all of us in one way or another. Helen, thank you.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
You bet. Helen Andrews, you can read this story. It's fascinating to read. And she really goes into great detail of other people and the things that she tried along the way. You can see it. It's at First Things. It's called Shame Storm. Just Google search Helen Andrews and Shame Storm.
Well, we'll tweet it out as well.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't Google her, because then you
see so she's playing into it. You bastard. Yeah. What are you doing?
Because she's a psychopath. She's a really bad person, I've heard.
At World of Stew, at Glenn Beck. We'll get that tweeted in the next couple of minutes here.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So what are your plans for 2019? Have you set them yet?
I'm going to get in unbelievable shape. I'm going to get ripped abs.
I am 5 pounds away from that.
I can tell. Yeah. You're so close. One less sandwich over the last month and you'd look like Brad Pitt.
Exactly, right?
That's how close
you
are.
So I keep telling my wife. She says I'm crazy. Anyway... one of the things you can do is say, I'm going to be more productive and I'm also going to be a little more comfortable. Do your work in an X chair. They've made a special chair that they're just releasing, and it is just available for this audience for a limited time. It's xchairbeck.com. Be the first in the neighborhood to have one. It has all the adjustments that you need at a great introductory price. X Chair, perfect gift for the hardworking spouse or hardworking coworker. XChairBeck.com. That's XChairBeck.com or 844-4XChair.
You can join the Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Beck. Use Beck Christmas for $20 off. One of the shows you'll get, Andrew Heaton. He's coming up in just a couple of minutes.
This is a Glenn Beck program, and we welcome Andrew Heaton, probably one of the, wouldn't you say, one of the most universally liked guys in the building?
Huh. Yeah, but that's mostly because we're all really, really awful people other than you.
Right, so that's
a very low bar.
It's on a curve.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
If we just expanded buildings, I'd go back to being in the middle.
but very funny, wicked smart, and opinionated, but open to other people's opinions, which I love. What are you planning on doing for Christmas and the holidays?
Well, when I'm going to see my family in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend some time at Snuffy's, which is the main sponsor of the program.
Yeah,
Snuffy's is a diner. If you're not familiar with this, it's a diner where all of the waiters and waitresses ride horses.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised this hasn't taken off. You know, outside of Oklahoma.
It's not actually in Oklahoma. It's off Route 44. Snuffy's Diner. But it's a lot of fun. I'm going to go check. They've got a nativity display this year where everybody's on horses. I pointed out, well, like, what about, you know, weren't there like camels and donkeys and things? And they were like, oh no, we got guys in donkey costumes on horses. So everybody's on horses, including the animals. And
they thought of everything.
Yeah, they're really on top of stuff. And I just talked to the owner of Snuffy's, Tom Snuffhauser. He is sponsoring, because he's a committed guy. He is sponsoring this year a emotional support horse that he is going to be bringing on plane flights with him throughout the United States. So he's going to be taking I think it's a Mustang. It's a 1.2-ton Mustang. He's going to take that onto the plane with him.
Really?
But if you get a picture with him, you get a free meal.
Wow.
If you tweet at them, yeah.
Okay.
So
for a vet or something? Or
just... No, he's just a big fan of horses and emotional support horses. So I'll probably do Christmas dinner there, I think, with my family.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
I wanted
that's
to nice. I wanted to posit where I want you to go, because you're traveling, are you not?
Yeah, I'm traveling.
Are you driving?
Yes, we are. We're driving.
Okay, I assume that you holiday in Oklahoma. I assume that that's where you go
no,
to unwind.
It's not.
Is it not?
It's not. But I may be going through Oklahoma.
Okay, if you're going through Oklahoma, because we were talking about this off air, and this is great. There is it's now, unfortunately, it's a private zoo, but I think you could strong arm your way in.
Okay.
But it used to be open to the public. It's called Little River Zoo in Norman, Oklahoma. I'm not making this up. It is a zoo for animals rejected by bigger, better zoos. If you want to pet a kangaroo, you can, because ours is blind. It's really? A phenomenal place, and all the animals are like, a lot of them are just terrible pets, like tigers and mountain lions and things that turned out to like not be a very good thing if you own them. And so they're all there, and I went there.
It sounds like a sad place.
No. This is a wonderful, happy place. Is where, again, I'm not making any of this up. What I'm saying right now, it is where all of the organ grinding monkeys in America retire to. Like, you know, like those things, those all go to Norman, Oklahoma, to Little River Zoo.
I didn't know those were still around.
They are. There was like when I was, you know, this was about 10 years ago. So, I don't know what the lifespan of an average organ grinding monkey is, but let's assume that some of them are around.
Uh-huh.
I went there a few times. I took my brother there when I was in college. I took a date there. We're not married. It didn't work out.
What a surprise.
I know.
You're such a catch.
You'd think
and still single. Can you believe that, Stu? Still
looking,
single.
You know, I thought taking a woman to look at a bunch of rejected animals in cages would just be a way into her heart.
Right.
But it didn't work out. But right. I was there on a date, and they took me to this big pen full of organ grinding monkeys. And this is, do not picture the Alcatraz of monkeys. This is like chicken wire and stuff, right?
Okay.
And I went, what do you do when the monkeys get out? And they were like, they don't get out. And I was like, but really though, like surely some of them. And one of them went, okay, listen, about once a year, you see the big one, his name is Goliath. Once a year he gets out, and we just leave bottles of schnapps around the zoo, and then he drinks them and he passes out, and we bring it back in. I was like, that is the greatest job
that
ever.
Scream.
I was like, that would, honey, I'm sorry. I know we were going to go to dinner tonight, but I have to get that monkey drunk. Yeah, it's Goliath. Yeah, I've got, he likes peppermint schnapps. So it's, anyway, I think you should go through there. I'm going to look into this because I hadn't thought about this.
So it's not a sad place. It's not like going to like where all of the stray dogs and cats are kept.
No, I don't think, I mean.
Wait. You don't think?
I think it depends on how you view zoos, right? Because I view zoos as having a very wide latitude. I've been to some terrible zoos. There are a couple that really are jails for kids. But I've been to other zoos that I thought were wonderful. I didn't get a sad vibe when I was there. And I'm going to look into this because I wonder if this might be my cause du jour for 2019, is trying to properly fund Little River Zoo in Norman, Oklahoma, get that off the ground again.
It does seem like it closed a while ago. Is that correct? I'm looking this up. I'm fascinated by this topic.
I checked, it was still existent, but it had closed down for public. Because they still had all these animals that literally couldn't be moved because they were in so horrible condition that they couldn't send them out. So they had some kind of status there. I don't know. That was 10 years ago. If not, I guess I'm going to quit my job and become a zookeeper.
Yeah,
try to restart this.
It seems to me, I mean, this seems to be, first of all, a legitimate place. Yeah. And it is. It was 2011. It closed to the public
right.
as a zoo.
Okay, that's the last I checked. Yeah.
And then it seemed like it was going to open up as an animal sanctuary after
okay.
the, after
all
this.
Right.
So I don't know that it's
actually... That's a better name for it than a zoo for...
Than a reject zoo?
No. Yeah, I think animal sanctuary is probably better marketing.
Yes.
I agree.
Than the zoo that well, if, has all the animals that
the
were rejected.
If the sanctuary is still there, then that means there's something I can work with. And
yeah.
then my goal will either be to re-expand it into a zoo or just to release all the monkeys into Oklahoma, which I think would make it for a more fun state. I think that would be if there's that would just make for a more interesting state.
Okay. All right. Okay. Are you a cat person or a dog person?
I am hardcore dog person.
I thought so.
I am my last girlfriend, which I had one, thank you. Mm. She described me as a Labrador Retriever hosting a game show. That was her opinion of me as a person.
When she was breaking up with you?
No, that was during the honeymoon period.
Really?
She thought that was a good thing. I know. I love dogs. I absolutely love dogs. I just I'm going to start volunteering here in Dallas to walk dogs. Actually, something I really want to get involved with next year is if I I'm still getting into Dallas right now, mm-hmm. so I don't have a lot of free time at night. But if I settle down a little bit, I want to get a dog. And there's a charity here where you can go to hospice with a dog, which I think would be really nice. Because
oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. So I want to do that next year.
You know, it's funny they don't bring cats to.
No, why
hospice.
Would they bring a cat?
Right.
You want to be judged on your deathbed by an animal that, right. that craps in a box? Is that what you want? I don't want that. I don't. This is the thing that really bugs me about because when I lived in New York, my roommates had cats. Notice that I said my roommates had cats.
Yes.
I did not. And I was nice to the cats, but I would go like when I meet a dog loves you. Most of the time, mm-hmm, right? Dogs just mm-hmm. love you. And they'd go, well, the thing is, you have to earn the cat's respect. And I'm like, I'm a man, and I've never done that to another human being. If I was like, oh, hey, what's your name, Stu? Why should I care? You would think I'm a terrible person, but yes. for some reason, if it's furry and it has four legs, it's fine. No, I'm not putting up with that.
I don't. I despise cats. And it brushes off and rubs off onto cat people.
Yeah,
if you even
they can sense it.
You don't even have to have a cat, but if you like a cat, I'm suspicious of you.
Yeah. I will the only thing I'll throw in is I will give out to cat people that cats have a very wide range of personalities, and there are occasionally you will find that cat that's super cool. It's just that you never know which one it's going to be. Like, you know, with dogs, like, you've got a pretty good idea what the breed's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But with cats, like, every once in a while, the red ones seem to be okay. I don't know why we're not. The red ones seem fine. I don't know why.
Is that the category?
I think. I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, you
this.
Notice that people don't get together on Thanksgiving and watch the cat show.
Yeah.
You watch the Great American Dog Show.
Yeah. And you don't hear a lot of stories about a valiant cat going in and saving a toddler from a fire.
Right.
There's just,
they
just
move on.
Yeah. I think this is part of my evolutionary theory because dogs have been around for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm,
dogs, from what we know, they've been around, we think maybe, I think it's like 20,000 years. And so we're all nomads, right? And these dogs show up and we're like, that's kind of a cool wolf. We could use that.
Right.
Because they probably followed us around. And we think that they probably were useful not so much for hunting, but because they would alert us to other humans coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And civilizational man was incredibly violent. So dogs were good. And it might be where we get property rights from. This is my, I think, a Matt Ridley theory, or maybe somebody else, is that like if you're living in a tribe with eight people, you share all this stuff. Dogs don't work that way, though. Dogs are like, nope, you're my human. And so we're like, oh, I own this thing now. I own a dog. Property rights, rule of law. We get those from dogs, not cats.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
That could be viewed as slavery
for the dog.
The dog chose it.
Yeah, the dog chose it.
Was like, I mean, it may be indentured servitude. I don't think.
When
can
did
go
the dog choose?
Because
I brought my dog up to the ranch. Mm-hmm. Now he was married, and yes, it was a shotgun marriage. Okay, to a much older dog,
mm-hmm.
He was three, she was like seven. And so we bought him, and they had to get along. And so that was like kind of his, ball and chain. And she really was a ball and chain.
Mm-hmm.
We realized after she died, he was miserable because oh. I have a new dog
really?
Entirely.
So I never thought about that before. The dogs just hated each other. We're forced to live together?
Yeah, and we knew that they didn't get along because he would wait in the other room until she was finished eating.
Yeah.
He would walk around the couch. If we were on one side of the couch and she was laying between us, he would go and walk all the way around the couch to the back so he didn't have to pass her. So we knew there wasn't a lot of love there.
Okay.
You know.
But you have German Shepherds, right?
Yes.
And nothing against German Shepherds. They're really fun. But yours are like trained and stuff. And
yeah.
So I wonder if that's because like mine are, the Heaton family, we specialize in just really stupid dogs. My brother's last dog, Cooper, we took him to the lake and he like didn't know what it was. So we attacked it. And I'd have to like rescue this dog from drowning himself because he would just try and fight the lake. He put his, put his head down there and bite it and bark and stuff and like nearly drown from being an idiot.
I think my dog was rolling a snowman. Honest to God. I think I have video of it. I should look for it and post it. We were up at the ranch and it started to snow. And all the grandkids got out and they started making snowmen. Couple of hours later, we see him and he is literally rolling a snowball. Literally, wow. He is like with his paws, he's just making this little snowball and it's rolling and he's barking and he's howling and he's having a blast. I think he was making a dog snowman.
That's amazing.
Or a snow dog.
You should, or try and train this dog to do your taxes for you. I think this is a dog that's quite gifted.
I think I'm going to skip on that idea, but I appreciate the input on the taxes.
Let me play devil's advocate in the cat dog debate here for a moment. With cats, you have a generally disagreeable creature, which sometimes is agreeable.
It's like a broken toaster with fur.
Right, okay. But sometimes you pet it.
It craps inside the house.
Yeah. I mean, we've had cats in the past, and my relatives had, and they like their cats.
Yeah.
But, you know, generally speaking, they're not as friendly.
Yeah.
Dogs, on the other hand, they're very friendly most of the time. They're most of all like you, but they do have that very low percentage chance of just, you know, ripping you to shreds and murdering you, which does happen. So where cats, there's very few cases in which they just gang up on you and topple a human and end it for them.
Yeah.
It does. Do you trade a little bit of the happiness?
I was severely wounded by a cat in my youth.
You were severely?
Yes. I was trying to do the cat a favor.
The what?
I was trying to do a cat a favor.
Okay. Go on.
I had met my first wife, and she had this cat. I had never been around cats. It was an outdoor cat.
Oh.
But it was sometimes inside.
Okay.
Oh,
but
okay.
The cat was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up around dogs. You give dogs a bath.
Oh, no.
I tried to give this cat.
That's love water.
Okay. Did not know that. Tried to give this cat a bath. There was a point to where I thought I was going to give up, but that damn cat pissed me off so much. I'm like, you are having this bath and you are going to be clean. I almost was taken to the hospital. So, no, there are records of people who have, and talk to Siegfried and Roy, there are cats that will kill you.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Cat. I will take that chance. I think dogs are, they're not. I think they're fine.
Okay,
so
there you go.
All right, Andrew, thanks a lot. You can grab him on his podcast every day. It's something's off with Andrew Heaton. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Something's off with Andrew Heaton. You can subscribe now to wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Sponsor this half hour is Liberty Safe. People will always find more to put inside of a safe. It is why the number one complaint of a Liberty Safe is, I wish I would have gotten a bigger one. You keep documents, you keep jewelry, you keep your guns. If you are looking for a great gun safe, they have a ton of them to choose from. Military-style locking handles, which are really cool, to just sleek-looking safes that look like, you know, they were in the bank. They have them. They make them. They're made here in America. They've sold more than 2 million safes for a reason, because they're the best and they're guaranteed.
No organ-grinding monkey is going to escape from a Liberty safe. That can't happen. That's why you don't... I mean, you shouldn't put them inside a Liberty safe, but they have a way of keeping things
inside. Wise now, though.
Yeah.
You know, living on the street with the organ grinder, probably very wise. Anyway, Liberty Safes, you can get them now at libertysafe.com. They're having a special. You can get 12 months interest-free financing, perfect for Christmas. It is Liberty Safe, libertysafe.com. That's libertysafe.com. So I just got an email in from a listener of the program, and it caught my eye because it's from Gold Ribbon Confections, and so anything that has anything to do with cakes, I read right away. Said, Glenn, I was listening to your show while you were talking to Eric Bowling, who lost his son. I've also lost a son.
my dad and went through a divorce all in the same period. I have felt some of those same sane feelings that he was feeling, but ultimately it was my faith in God and God that got me through, along with faith in others. Started a business that gives back to childhood cancer research and causes, but it was the hymn, "It Is Well," that has always been an encouragement to my heart. And that is my soul's cry today. I wanted to reach out and thank you. And if I can ever be an encouragement, please don't hesitate to ask. The reason why I read this is because I could not remember the name of the guy that I talked about. And remember, after we hung up the phone, I said there was this guy who lived, in Chicago. His business burnt down. Then his four children died at sea on the way over for Christmas. Then another son died of scarlet fever a few years later. And then another child died. Only two out of eight children, I think, lived. They just went through hell their whole life. His name was Horatio Spafford. And he eventually, somebody told him that God is punishing you. And he and his wife never gave up. They did some great charitable work. But he also wrote the song, "All Is Well." All is well with my soul. So what he said, that song, that hymn that got me through, I don't even know if he knew that story, but that was written by a guy who suffered a great deal in a Job sort of way that wrote, it is well with my soul.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.